Good morning, I'm Darren Pritchett. Welcome to the Corona Premier Golf Show on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. It's our final show for 2022. Coming up, you'll hear from Blackthorn Superintendent John Quickstad, Blackthorn owner Tim Firestone, and Knollwood Assistant Pro Jerry Janowski. The Corona Premier Golf Show starts next on WSBT. Welcome back to the Corona Premier Golf Show on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com and on our free WSBT Radio app. Good morning, I'm Darren Pritchett. Well, John Quickstad has been a part of Blackthorn Golf Club going back to the 90s. If you're someone that plays Blackthorn, enjoys the golf course, this is the guy you need to thank. He is the longtime superintendent at Blackthorn Golf Club. And I sat down with John recently to talk about his job and spending a lot of time at Blackthorn Golf Club.
Well, John, let's just start with how long you've been associated with Blackthorn Golf Club, and why don't you offer what your title is?
I am the golf course superintendent here at Blackthorn, and I've been here for 29 years. And seems like forever ago, and it seems like yesterday.
Did you think when you started you'd be here this long?
I thought that was a possibility. Doing what I do, being a golf course superintendent in my hometown, in my wife's hometown, is almost unheard of. So I was really quite fortunate. And when I did start, I was also fortunate enough to grow the course in. So it was started under construction in 1991. I started in 93, right about when seeding and sodding was about to start. And so I wish I could have been here a little bit sooner than that for drainage and irrigation purposes.
Sure.
But It's been a great place to work.
And I'm sure it's probably a place that's hard to leave considering the property you have to work with. This is an immaculate area.
Well, it's being right next to an airport, you'd think that it would be fairly flat and somewhat boring, but no, it's got a lot of character. I hear all the time, boy, this is a great layout.
Yeah.
So the architect, Michael Hurdston, and his assistant Bill Boswell did a great job with the design, it's a great piece of property.
So you went to Purdue. I'm curious what your major was, and was your plan going to Purdue to get into this line of work?
I wanted to be involved with sports. I am not by any means capable of being talented at any of them, but I wanted to initially be a cameraman. And so I went to Purdue my freshman year, and I was in communications of all things, and that wasn't really panning out. And so I enjoyed my summer jobs working on a golf course at South Bend Country Club.
Okay.
And so I said, you know what, let me just investigate this. And so I enrolled in the School of Agriculture Agronomy.
Okay.
With the turf management specialization. So there were different ways I could go, whether it's golf course work or lawn care or sports field or, so there was several different opportunities, but obviously I chose golf and I love that.
Many would say you made a great choice not going into communications for those of us that are in the communication business. So as I mentioned a moment ago, this is an immaculate big piece of property. What are the keys in order to manage such a big area? I mean, we all struggled trying to keep our front yards and our backyards looking good. I mean, this is just an overwhelming venture for those of us not in the business.
Well, it takes, it's more than just me, for sure. the staff I have is excellent. I have a great assistant, and my mechanic is he's the glue that holds everything together. So shout out to David and Al. So a good team is required. I try not to focus on the 175 acres that are seeded. I try to prioritize, and obviously the greens for any superintendent are his bread and butter, and they spend a lot of time with them. And it branches out from there. You're just other playing surfaces, tees and fairways, and you prioritize that way.
Now, you keep a lot of good notes, from what I understand. So you can go back and check in years past to see what you did, just to kind of make sure maybe, oh, wow, you're showing me as we're talking here all the diaries that you have. I'm sure that comes in handy if you ever want to just double-check something you did years ago that worked well.
I refer to it often, although I find myself going through some of them in the early 90s. And
wow.
I'm just trying to figure out a name to a face. I couldn't even recall who my staff was then. But no, that started, I was assistant superintendent with a really good superintendent at Evansville Country Club, and he kept these diaries, and it's basically a day-to-day log. We're planning for the next day, but we're also referring back to it, and so it's my tool. Yeah. Other guys have their own method, but so if someday you're really bored, you can you can read 29 diaries.
I'm sure all these notes come in handy, but Mother Nature probably plays a big role in what you do on a daily basis. I'm just wondering, how many times do you check the radar on a day where there could be rain or there could be severe weather? Are you someone that's always checking the radar? Because I'm sure that changes maybe things you're planning on doing on the golf course today or the next day.
Well, weather plays a huge, huge factor. I mean, we can plan, but sure enough, the weather changes, and we have to adjust. The saying goes, if you don't like the weather around here, wait 5 minutes. That can be true. As far as I definitely watch and look at the weather more so during the season, and I basically take the winter off. I normally don't tune into the weather forecast in the winter as much. Plays a huge role. It seems like I've been burned by the radar before, where I think we're for sure going to get a storm or send guys home, and it seems as soon as they clock out and get in their car, the sun comes out. So I can guess wrong more often than not.
Yeah. Well, John, I've been helping with being on your staff for about a year now, and I would say the one thing consistently I hear from golfers who might give me a comment or ask a question out of the golf course, and that is, wow, you guys have amazing greens. In fact, I've heard that twice this week from people out of town, just really, really complimentary of the greens. So without giving probably what could take, a three-hour lecture on how you do it, simply put, what are just some of the keys that allow you to have these greens that look so healthy? And I think the thing that always amazes me, you don't get many bumpy putts. I mean, things roll very, very true out here.
Well, thanks. It's not easy. There's in the area, around the country, there's some really, really good superintendents, and if I can be as good as half of them, I'm doing good. But no, there's some really talented guys around here. So, but it takes, it starts at the beginning with proper construction, drainage. We have some pockets of drainage here that basically do not drain or days quite wet, and so it's a challenge to manage those type areas. We do what we call venting. Mm-hmm. Just got off the aerator an hour ago, poking holes, trying to get oxygen down to the roots in some of these areas that tend to hold water. So, you know, there's 21 greens here. They all have their own uniqueness. Every superintendent has a green or two that is his problem child. And we have a couple of those here too that are just harder to maintain and harder to keep that high expectation. And you know, there's good weeks and bad weeks. The weather we just went through with 100 degree heat and humidity and just tough yeah. growing conditions. It's no matter how hard we work, there's nothing like a cool 50 degree night and a 70 degree yeah. day to kind of settle things down.
So here's a question that I think if you could answer could help a lot of people and could actually help you and your staff. And that is, when you hit a tee shot off of a tee box or in the fairway and you create a divot, what is the best way to handle it? Because some people just leave the hole open. Others take the divot and put it back in the hole. And others pour the divot mix that is on carts. So everybody kind of does it a different way. Is there a best way? Is there a way that we should not handle a divot?
I think personally doing any one of those is the most crucial thing. The way I think of it is if a golfer takes a divot and there's absolutely no soil in that divot, so a pretty thin divot, it will not grow back. It needs to be a substantial divot, probably like you're supposed to hit the ball. You know, I watch pros, they take a divot every time, and that's not my game. But if there's enough there to that divot where it can be replaced, fine, replace it. I'm talking mainly in the rough or, fairway. Tees, we have the sand buckets that you're familiar with and have experienced the job of filling divots, and it's job security where we have to people might feel bad for taking a divot, but like I said, that's where you should hit a ball.
Yeah.
But so in answer to your question, divot mix where you can. If it's a little bit thicker divot, go ahead and replace it properly. But the main thing is just fixing, either way.
Here's the second most popular question I get, and this might come as a surprise, but people will ask me, how long does it take when you put the divot mix in the divot for the grass to fully come back? Is there a technical answer to that particular question?
I probably should have Googled this before. I mean, it
takes a while.
It all depends. It all depends on growing conditions.
Sure.
I mean, if it's cooling down in the fall or cool in the spring and you replace your divot with sand seed mix, it's going to take a while. If given proper conditions, proper moisture, good soil temperatures, couple weeks maybe.
Okay.
So it's a process, but it closes slowly. Obviously, it's not going to heal in, you know, from nothing to complete cover, but it's a process.
Divots on the green, the ball marks, that's something that probably is one of the most important things a golfer can do on a golf course, because we all want those smooth greens that we have out here at Blackthorn. But if the greens aren't taken care of, it makes the challenge even more difficult to try to keep the greens as nice as they can be.
It's a definite source of frustration, not only for me, but for golfers who show the golf etiquette and they fix their ball mark and one or two or three others. It's just what you need to do. If we're mowing greens in the morning and, you know, there's fresh ball marks from the day before, that mark's going to be there for months, a long time. Where if the golfer would just take 10 or 15 seconds, yeah. I mean, it does not take long. And even if you can't find your ball mark, fix another one. It's for your own benefit.
Sure.
It's not to make my job easier. It's to make the greens better and more puttable.
I always say, if I make a divot on the green, fix two. That helps everybody.
That's a good motto to live by.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot of different things, so let me just ask a general question. What is the biggest challenge you have as a superintendent?
Meeting expectations. No matter what the conditions, yeah. It's crazy how things have changed in my 30-plus year career, and not in a bad way, but it's just there's more pressure, and you just got to perform every day, and it's not just me, but you got to be able to think ahead, plan ahead. Staying on budget, that's a challenge. The motto, not just here, but a lot of places, because it's expensive to maintain a golf course, is do more with less. I'm not complaining about my budget, but if it was a little more, I would take advantage.
And if gas prices went down to normal, that would probably help a whole lot too.
Yes.
So from the standpoint of being a golfer yourself and also as a superintendent, is your favorite hole at Blackthorn the same as a golfer and as a superintendent?
I would say yes. My favorite hole out here, I would have to say, is number four.
Mm-hmm.
It's par five. You hit your drive, and then you go over. There's a elevation drop, and you hit another fairway, hopefully avoiding some bunkers. And then I can't hit a par five in two shots. So there's just some strategy to that
sure.
hole, and that's one of those that's right next to the airport, and. But you would never know that. It's a lot of elevation change. So I like four a lot. Of course, 16, I think, is our signature hole. That's a great hole, too. When I hit it on the green, I love it. When when I hit it in the long stuff, I'm not such a big fan. But that's a good
yeah.
hole, too.
Finally, I asked your boss, Tim Firestone, this question earlier this year. If I could give him a whole bunch of money, no budget, if you could change one hole at Blackthorn, what would you change? And he picked the par four number five, and even talked about maybe extending the hole where the green is, make that fairway, and then go into the woods where the green is. He kind of mentioned that the small green with that long of a par four is a little bit challenging. So that's where he would spend his money. I'm wondering, as the superintendent at Blackthorn, if I gave you an unlimited budget, what one hole or area would you change at Blackthorn?
Well, just real quick, on number five, the architects happened to put a 250-year-old oak tree in the middle of it, too. So
yeah, true.
That does add to the challenge. And the intention was to play that hole further back And we've expanded the upper tees, so golfers have a chance to get past the tree. But anyway, in answer to your question, I think one area out here that I would like to see differently is our number 14 and 15. 14's a great dog leg left, then 15, par 5 coming up the hill. And it's just, they're two great holes, but people on 14 slice into 15, 15 slices yeah. into 14, and it's a bottleneck, or can be. It can be. Mm-hmm. And perhaps moving the tees more left on 15 would steer people away a little bit more from 14. So I don't know. I mean, that's the green areas on both holes are great,
yeah.
But it's just the confusion that can happen in the middle, especially if you're trying to rake bunkers there,
yeah.
right? It's can be dangerous.
Yeah, you have friendly fire coming from all directions when you're taking care of the bunkers
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
Well, John, thanks for all you do at Blackthorn. It is a wonderful golf course, always in great shape, and I know people from all over come to play this golf course, so we're very lucky to have it. And again, thanks for the visit, and good luck the rest of the year with the golf course.
Well, thank you, and I've enjoyed working with you for the past year, and hopefully you've had fun and maybe learned a few things and get you out of the office.
Absolutely. So, I haven't ruined a green, and I have not broken any equipment. So I think from that standpoint, it's been successful. That's good for your budget if those things don't happen.
There you go.
All right,
yep.
John, thanks for the visit.
Hey, you bet. It was fun.
More of the Corona Premier Golf Show comes your way next on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. This is the Corona Premier Golf Show on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Darren Pritchett with you. My guest is Jerry Janowski, assistant pro at Knollwood Country Club. Let's just for a moment, Jerry, talk about the state of golf. I'm just curious what you're seeing out at Knollwood Country Club from the standpoint of golf popularity, because once we went through, or I guess the beginning of COVID, golf interest really peaked, because that was truly one of the things that you could go out and do. You could go out to the golf course, and with social distancing, you could play golf. I know they had the little bumpers on the pin, so you didn't have to touch the hole or the pin or anything, so extra caution was taken. But you know what? It was something for people to do going through the pandemic. Now that I think it's fair to say we're on the back end of the pandemic, do you feel like the game of golf is still as popular as ever? Have we seen people get back to normal, not playing as much since COVID's in the rearview mirror? How do you look at the state of golf right now?
Yeah, what I'm seeing is that it is it's continuing on. Golf is still, it's retained its popularity. People are coming out. Our range is busy all the time. The golf course, the tee times book up quite often. So, from what I'm seeing here just at Knollwood, and I've seen it at some of the other courses that I've been to as well, golf is still popular, and it's still being, people are still playing. They haven't given it up now that COVID's done.
Are you seeing any extra growth in youth golf right now? I know personally I work at Blackthorn part-time, and this week a kids' academy has been taking place as they're teaching the youngsters about the game of golf. Do you feel like youngsters are getting involved in the game as much as they used to? I guess old guys like us, we can say, are they as excited about golf as we were back in the day?
Yeah, I definitely see that. And I've got an extra perspective, being not just the assistant pro at Knollwood, but being locally on the local committee for the first tee down at Studebaker. The growth in the Studebaker first tee program the last couple of years has been phenomenal. They've had over 200-300 kids down at Studebaker getting lessons, learning the game. Down there, I know at Knollwood, we constantly have junior golfers on the range out playing, having the junior clinics and junior programs out there. Yeah, juniors, junior golf has really taken off in this area.
Since you mentioned the first tee, a lot of people I don't think know exactly what that is all about. I know Jenny Zimmerman has been involved in first tee for a good amount of time in this area. Why don't you just pass along for the person who doesn't know much about first tee, what exactly it is and the goal of that organization?
Okay. Yeah. So the first tee is actually, it's uses the game of golf to teach characters and values to kids. So they're trying to find, you know, they use the 9 core values that they have. And I have them right here. I was going to say, I can't remember them, but they use honesty, respect, integrity, judgment, perseverance, courtesy, responsibility, sportsmanship, and confidence, using the game of golf to, you know, use all of those. For example, honesty. In golf, you keep your own score. You call your own penalty. So they use the game of golf to say, hey, take responsibility for yourself. You know, be honest with people. So that's just one way. But we use, you know, like I said, the game of golf, teaching them the fundamentals, how to hit the ball, and then how do you play the course? How do you meet people? How do you interact? You know, handshakes before and after the round. You know, encouraging the other people when they hit a good shot. You're not, golf isn't a game where you're, for the most part, most people aren't cheering against your opponent. You actually want your opponent to do well. So it's really, it's a great way to get kids involved in the game, get them outside, and also teach them skills in life that they'll be able to take, you know, into their adulthood and beyond.
There were a couple of members of my high school golf team that weren't very good with math. I think they probably could have used the first tee to get started. But for but for youngsters who don't have a set of golf clubs, can they still get involved in first tee?
Yeah, absolutely. The first tee, you know, they have rental sets down there, or not even rental. They just have sets to use. So we would bring out, you know, multiple sizes. So all the way down to, you know, 4 and 5 year olds up to the 13, 14, 15 year olds. Yeah, they have clubs ready to go. If you don't have them, you can just go down there and use them. So it's a great thing that's available.
Now, do they have leagues that go along with this, or is this more about teaching and, you know, getting some practice in?
They do. So they have down there at the first tee with Studebaker, they do have, you know, regular classes. They have weekly classes and, you know, weekly classes, but they also have an in-house PGA Junior League program where, you know, it's fairly foundational. You don't have to have any experience. You just come out, you play 9 holes as a team. They do different formats, you know, kind of a match play. Every 3 holes is a point. Whichever team gets the most points wins. You're responsible for your own scorecard. You know, they have to sign it at the end. So they kind of incorporate learning the game of golf with also how to compete and keep score for yourself and your opponent, and, you know, check that at the end. So, yeah, they do have that, and it's great because it's a team concept. You don't see that a lot in golf. It's more individual. But this is, you know, you get put on a team, and then you're with that team for the year.
See, they'll be ready for the LIV Golf Tour in a few years.
Yeah. Let's see if it's still around. We'll see if it's still around.
That's a good point. That's a very, very good point. In terms of the first tee, I'm kind of asking this personally. I'm just curious. I mean, I would have to think getting donations, golf clubs, maybe even monetary donations helps keep this organization going. Am I on the right track?
Oh, yes. Yep. Donations of many kinds. Obviously, financial is one way. Donating golf clubs, golf balls, although we tend to get quite a few donations of clubs and balls, so those aren't the biggest needs. It's more the financial side, making sure that we have the proper staffing for the kids throughout the summer, making sure one of the biggest items down there are popsicles. You can imagine, I wish I had Jenny here at the moment. I'll talk to her. How many popsicles we went through last year at the first tee in Studebaker it's phenomenal. You know, you get those hot days, the kids wrap it up, and they all get a popsicle. So you can imagine you do that, you know, June, July, August, every day afterwards with over 150 kids. That's a lot of popsicles. So that's a need, is making sure that we have that taken care of. So golf clubs, there's a lot of those, golf balls, but it's really the financial aspect of, you know, having bottled water for them, having the popsicles, those kind of things. So So that's where the biggest need for helping is.
That's cool. I mean, Little League, we went to DQ or got snow cones at the concession stand. Golf, you get popsicles. I like that. That's a very, very
right.
nice touch.
Yeah.
Well,
and that is definitely a kid favorite.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, I know Jenny does a great job with that organization. I guess, Jerry, is there a website or a phone number that people can contact Jenny or First Tee to see how they can help, or maybe they want to get their child involved in this organization?
Yeah, absolutely. So go if you go to the website, it's firstteeindiana.org. You can look there. That has all the locations for the state, so you do have to look for locations for the Michiana is the one that we have. And if you wanted to get in contact with her, let me go back. So the phone number to contact the First Tee here at Michiana at Studebaker, it's 574-360-2764. That's 574-360-2764. You can also contact Coach Zimmerman at jzimmerman@indianagolf.org. And then also our First Tee Indiana in Michiana Facebook page is also a great spot for information.
Okay. Very good. And again, firstteeindiana.org, also a really good place to start. Jerry, let's circle back to Knollwood Country Club. Why don't you remind our listeners or maybe people that aren't familiar with Knollwood Country Club, the golf options, and also besides playing golf, what you can do out at Knollwood if you're a member?
Okay, yeah. So Knollwood has a 36-hole golf facility, but it is not just a golf country club. It is a full family country club. So it has a fitness room, swimming pool, indoor and outdoor, banquet areas. You know, so a lot of extra other things to do for the whole family. They are currently accepting members as well. So the best way to reach out to them is, or reach out to us at Knollwood, is 574-277-1541. And you can get more information on the membership options there as well.
And if I'm not mistaken, the 36 holes, really the courses are a little different, aren't they, in terms of part of it's wide open and other parts of the golf course, they're pretty tree-lined.
Yeah, and it's funny. The West course is the shorter of the two, but it's actually the tougher of the two as well. That's where a few weeks ago we hosted the Indiana State Amateur Qualifier, and it was on the West course. It's a lot shorter, a lot tighter, a lot more challenging. On the East course, it is a little bit more wide open. It's a little bit longer. So they are two completely different courses. So you'll get quite an experience if you get to play the courses out there. But, yeah, they are one's more wide open, one's tighter. But they're both fantastic courses.
Jerry, finally, what about a couple of events that are coming up at Knollwood Country Club?
All right. So, yeah, we've got coming up our annual Charity Classic. It's on September 9th. The proceeds of that will go to the South Bend Educational Foundation and the Invited Employee Care Foundation. It is open to the public, and we're accepting both sponsors and golf packages, and you can get more information about that on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. So just search for Facebook and Instagram for Knollwood Country Club.
All right, very good. He's Jerry Janowski, assistant pro at Knollwood Country Club. I'm Darren Pritchett. This is the Corona Premier Golf Show on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Welcome back to the Corona Premier Golf Show on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. I'm Darren Pritchett. This is our final segment of this year's golf show season, and I'm going to bring back a conversation I had with the owner of Blackthorn Golf Club in South Bend, Tim Firestone, as he talked about some of the golf equipment available at the Pro Shop at Blackthorn. Well, Tim, I know in the wintertime, the golf shop becomes a place where you can get some instruction out at Blackthorn Golf Club, but now we're getting into the swing of things with summer right around the corner. I know you've mentioned that golf sales of equipment at your place has been really incredible the last few months, or maybe dating back to last year. It's kind of interesting with golf equipment. We've talked about it on the program. You know, there are some parts of golf equipment that can get very, very expensive, but you've said you've seen a surge right now in golf equipment sales at Blackthorn Golf Club.
Yeah, and it's not getting cheaper, I'll tell you that. The prices continue to go up, and the demand continues to go up as well. You know, a lot of these drivers are $600 now. And if you're getting a brand new set of what I'll call premium irons, you're close to $2,000, you know. So it's definitely an investment, but I just think that the ability to custom fit people and to have the technology that we have with our Foresight Golf, and you know, some courses use TrackMania, but to be able to show the golfer how much improvement they can get with the right shaft and the right head, I think it just shows you how much people are willing to buy a game of golf. So I think that's really what's driving it more than anything else, is the ability to actually let the golfer see the numbers of how much straighter and how much longer they can hit with technology.
You know, Tim, I know there's different levels of prices, and let's use drivers as an example. You mentioned some of the premium drivers are close to $600. But do you truly get what you pay for in terms of improving your game and the forgiveness in some of these drivers? I mean, you can buy a driver for $100, $150, but I mean, Tim, there's a big, big difference. When you get those premium drivers we're talking about, they can make a difference, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have the success they have if a $150 driver was performing the same way, you know? So it has to perform better. And even now, I don't know if, I mean, $150 driver, you're really going down the, you know, to the bottom of the barrel. No, I mean, and I think, you know, all of the major club manufacturers are kind of in that same price zone, whether you're with, you know, Titleist or TaylorMade or Callaway, they're all kind of in that same price point of $500 to $600 for a driver.
We say this every year, Tim, but I know there are still some people that don't take this advice, and it's very important advice. Don't just buy a golf club off the shelf and then take it out and start playing with it, because there's a 99.9% chance that golf club doesn't truly fit you. And if you get the golf club fitted to you, then you're going to get the most out of what you're putting into your golf game. It just makes a whole lot of sense to take the time in order to get fitted properly, which I know is something that can happen out at Blackthorn.
Yeah, I think, you know, I had this discussion last week with one of our members. Is, you know, I don't care, just whatever one, grab me which one you think is going to be best. And I was like, look, you know, it'll take you 10 or 15 minutes, hit a few balls with Randy or Matt, and they'll be able to tell you exactly what you need. So I think some people think it's like you're just going to be too cumbersome to take the time to do it. But, you know, be patient, spend 15 minutes, and get the right shaft, you know, the right head, the right grip, and you'll be so happy you did that. The other thing that I think is something that's kind of driving people's satisfaction is that if we fit you to a let's say a regular shafted, you know, 60 gram whatever shaft, and let's say you play a year and you get better, and now you have more club head speed, you know, your swing changes, I mean, then, you know, you can swap out the shaft, because these drivers now, you know, can be interchanged with different shafts, so you can keep the head and switch your shaft out. So I think that's a great selling point as well.
Tim, I know TaylorMade is the manufacturer that you carry out at Blackthorn Golf Club. What's new in terms of TaylorMade golf this year?
Well, I mean, I think if you have had a chance to watch any golf on TV this spring, they've made a big push and Tiger's hitting a new driver as well. It's called the Stealth line, both Fairway Woods driver, and they have Stealth irons as well. Having some terrific results. I think DJ was carrying it another like 8 or 9 yards further than the Sim 2 from last year. So they're definitely having some success with that line of products. So TaylorMade spends a lot of money on the tour, obviously, with all of their players, but when they can win with them, that really helps, I think, with sales and popularity of the line. So we've gotten to the point with our guys, with Matt and Randy, who are instructors, where we now have a Titleist fitting cart as well as a Callaway fitting cart for people to come in. And so we will be able to help you with any of those lines depending on what you'd like. You can try some different options. So it's not just with TaylorMade, but we've got several lines to choose from.
I think, Tim, back when I started playing, or maybe the last time I got irons, it was pretty standard. You got 3-iron through pitching wedge when you bought an iron set. But it seems like now there seem to be more options where you could go 4-iron to sand wedge or 5-iron to maybe a couple of different wedges. Is there more flexibility now in terms of what you want in your iron sets? Because there are some people that just feel like they can't hit 3 and 4 irons well enough that they'll maybe go to a hybrid wood to take their place.
Yeah, the days of people ordering 3 irons through pitching wedge are, I wouldn't say they're completely over, but it's very unique. Most are, 4-iron through either like that gap wedge, that 52-degree wedge, and then they'll add in, a hybrid or two along with the 3-wood and the driver. There's still a few guys that hit 3-iron, but very, very few. So we're seeing more and more 4-iron, through that gap wedge or sand wedge. So you're exactly right. And the other thing is, if you remember, if you go back in the days where, Bo Bix and some of these big golf shops, they would have 500 sets of clubs like on the wall, and there was no custom fit, and there was no, I want this iron, not that iron. You bought 3-2 pitching wedge. You didn't have an option, where everything we're doing today is being custom built for the golfer, and they're able to pick out whatever the heck they want. So much more flexible in this day and age.
Do you think those hybrids give golfers a better chance to have success on long range shots?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I don't carry a 3-iron. I have, I carry a hybrid. I think it's really helped the game of golf, especially for the older players who are looking to get a little more height on the shot. I mean, to hit a 3-iron up in the air like you could with a, a 4-hybrid or a 5-hybrid, there's just no chance. So I would say the hybrid's been a huge benefit for the game of golf.
Tim, if people want more information on the products you have out at Blackthorn Golf Club, what number can they call?
232-4653. They can check out blackthorngolf.com and our Golf Academy page from there. We'll link right to it.
Make sure you check out Blackthorn Golf Club. The greens are rolling as smooth as ever. Talked to several people from out of town the last week, all commenting on how great the greens are at Blackthorn. Well, that's going to do it for the season on the Corona Premier Golf Show on Sports Radio 960 WSBT, streaming live at WSBTRadio.com and on our free WSBT Radio app. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great rest of your golf season. And this has been the Corona Premier Golf Show on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT.